We're turning to Joshua 24 and to a very wonderful text today. The verse 15, the latter part of that verse. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a text. What a text for Canada. As our politicians are facing some of the most perverse legislation proposals, this is a word for all our leaders. No matter what other men, other nations may do, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a text for this church as well. We face a very difficult battle in this year and in the years to come. We are losing the battle of fundamental Bible Christianity in this nation. And I think if we are really honest, we're losing it in this church too. There are many people that attend and come through the doors of this church that are not fundamental Bible Christians. There are many that are only interested in a convenience Christianity. We are losing young people to the contemporary spirit of modern-day evangelicalism. That ought to break our hearts. That ought to drive us to our knees. But if you knew the attendance at the prayer meetings of this church, you would see that it really doesn't. This is a text for this church. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a text for every Christian, because no church is any better than the individual Christian, the individual families. As in Israel in Joshua's time, there is to you as a Christian today the lures to serve other gods. Not the gods of Hinduism and heathenism, but the gods of materialism. The gods of self and ease and pleasure. And when recreation and sports and clubs and hobbies take over the place of your church life, your spiritual life, then this is a text for you. This is also a text for this communion feast. As we come to take our hands to these living, vivid symbols, the cup and the bread, we need to come with this spirit. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now these were Joshua's words, but Jesus is our Joshua. He is our leader. Joshua was the leader of Israel. His name, by the way, is synonymous with Jesus. And our Lord Jesus also speaks these words to us. The greater Joshua said in his covenant work of redemption, in obeying the word of his Father, to save his church, to gather a people out of the world, to present them one day to his Father, he said, Father, as for me and my house, my people, we will serve the Lord. And our Lord Jesus died on that cross. He shed his blood. He suffered. He endured the atoning work that he would save a people that would serve the living God of heaven. Not a people who would just profess his name, but that they would truly serve him with all their hearts. Now, as I analyze this text today, and I'm looking at this textually, in some ways we'll look at the context and the whole history of Israel there, but as I look at this, I see here a call to personal consecration. It says, as for me, in spite of what is happening around us, in spite of the many that turn to other gods, as for me. And all godly service begins with that personal consecration. It begins with me. It begins with you saying, what about me? What about my service? Joshua was a man who, if necessary, would go it alone. No matter what the people or the popular trend would be, he said, as for me, he was personally sold out to the Lord's service. He was not just going to follow the crowd. That is the mark and the spirit of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus, who is the greater Joshua, in his work of coming into this world to lead his people out of bondage into the liberty of the gospel, it was for him personal. He personally served. He personally came down into the battle, into the fight, into the fray of redemption. He did not remain on his throne. He did not just send his angels and commission them to do the work. He himself came down into that stable. He became flesh. He mingled with the sweat of man. And he heard the curses of man. And on that cross, he endured the agonies of death for us. With our Lord, and said, as for me, we will serve the Lord. There is personal consecration. And in whom every believer in whom the Lord dwells, there is that same spirit of the Lord Jesus. As for me, there's no withdrawal, no sulking, no taking the back seat in the heat of the battle and say, ah, let others do it. No, there is that spirit of personal consecration. As for me. And I know we live in a critical age. I know we live in a day when godly religion is at a low ebb, and we're looked upon as the offscouring of the world, and it's not the popular thing to do. It is not the way to make a name for yourself. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the consecration that our Lord Jesus displayed for us and calls us to today. And dare we take that cup and bread and say that we are New Testament Christians, that we are men and women after God, if that spirit is not in our hearts? Our Lord bore the loneliness. Joshua found that even within Israel there were many who would turn to the gods and follow their ways. Apostasy was in the hearts of Israel. Our Lord Jesus suffered that defection as well. There was a time when the crowds followed him. And then there was a time when he had to ask, will ye also go away? And the criticisms and the ribs of the world reduced to just a few. Oh yes, there are many who will serve with the lip. There are many who will say, I am a Christian. But where is that consecrated life behind the lip profession? Our Lord Jesus did not just come into this world with empty words. Our Lord Jesus went right through to the cross. And he calls us to take up that cross and to follow him. Our Lord also served willingly. There was no reluctance. There was no dragging him to do the will of God. No, rather he said that the Father's will was his delight. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. And in the heart of our Joshua, our Jesus Joshua, our great leader who is our Savior, whom we remember at this table today, served willingly. And when he saves his people, he says, as for me and my house, my people, we will serve the Lord. There is that willing spirit born into the heart of his people. Are you willing today? Or have you drawn back? Have you begun to sit on the fringe and the edge of things and say, I'm just going to sit this one out? Let me tell you, that is to give in to the spirit of this age. That is to sulk and whine and to live as a critic of Bible religion. Not as putting your shoulder to the wheel. There must be a willing service. As for me, now, others may have their problems. Others may have their complaints. But I'm going to overcome. As for me, I have no reason not to serve my Lord. Joshua also served decisively. As for me, we will. It is obvious that the spirit of false worshippers was that they wanted to serve the other gods too. Now this is the subtlety of it. Apostasy doesn't always come by abandoning the Bible completely, abandoning Orthodox Christianity completely, but it is a shift of toleration and compromise to allow the other gods into your life as well. And you'll notice how Joshua states this. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites. Can't have it every way. You're either going to serve those ancient idols or the ways of the Amorites or Jehovah. You can't have it all. To a decisive service. We're called to that same decisive commitment and consecration to the Lord our God. Our Lord Jesus had to do that. Our Lord Jesus came into the world representing one Father. He preached one gospel. He lived and died one way to heaven. If we call ourselves disciples of the living Christ, we need that same decisive spirit. And the subtlety of this modern age is to tell you that you can have your God and you can have the world and you can have your other gods at the same time. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so I call you to renounce those things if they have become gods in your life. Recreation, fun, vanity, hobbies. I'm not going to accuse anyone in this church of going to the pubs and the places of iniquity or some heathen temple that you may get caught up in some foreign religion. But there are gods that have come to control our lives and we bow down to them before we serve the living God. Joshua said, as for me, and I pray that I have the grace and I pray that I have that spirit. As we witness, and let me say, as things go on in this nation, we're going to see things grow worse. Unless God visits in a national revival, we're going to see the flood of iniquity destroy the moral fiber of this nation. When you have men framing laws to legislate iniquity, it's going to be a tough walk. And it calls for that personal consecration, as for me. As I look at this text, I see also, it is a call to public leadership. As for me and my house. Now, a man's house is his castle. It is the place of his first leadership. It is the place where he must take his first stand for God in his own home. Although I think Joshua, being the national leader that he was, there was a sense that you could broaden this reference house to the nation. He was God's man to give leadership, and whoever would follow him, he would lead them. And that is that spirit of leadership that should be in the heart of every Christian man. We are saved to serve God and to lift up our fellow men wherever possible, that they will walk in the light of the Lord. And every Christian is called to be a public leader. You cannot hide your light. The Lord Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. You cannot go into your own little closet or room and close the door and say, I'm just going to live for God in here. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Our Lord himself, as he came into this world, he was not just a private individual. He was, of course, in redemption, the representative man. He was the second Adam. He came in the full light and public glare of the world. Especially as he entered into his ministry, his baptism and the Father's voice from heaven and those miracles that he performed, all eyes were upon him. And Christian, there are eyes upon you. Little young eyes, perhaps in your own family, and those eyes are upon you. Eyes in your neighborhood, eyes at work, eyes in this congregation. No man liveth unto himself. It's impossible to live as a Christian, as a private individual. And fathers, I would plead with you to be men of God in your home. Any church is only as good as the families that make up that church. And by and large, any family will only be as good as the godly leadership of fathers and husbands. Now there will undoubtedly be those women who will step up to make up for the failures of husbands. That's rare. And it's extra mercy when God blesses those labors. But the strength of the family is the godly leadership of the father. And if you are a wimp spiritually in your home, don't be surprised when the world comes in like a flood. Don't be surprised when your children follow your leadership. And when you give the example, when it comes to the things of God, well, we can take them or leave them. We can be a convenience Christian. That's the kind of leadership. And that's the kind of church we'll be. It'll be reflected and ripple right down. And the generation rising up will lose out. You'll notice in verse 14 that Joshua mentioned serving in sincerity and in truth. If you read verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." This demands a clear stand for truth. Let me ask you in this year of 2005 to endeavor by God's help and God's grace to be a leader to bring others to the truth. That's what Christian leadership ought to be. What other direction can we go? We have to lead men to the truth. If we don't lead men to the truth, we are leading them away from it into error. And by your walk and by your invitations and by your bringing men, perhaps even to these church services, inviting them to come under the preaching of the word, that you will be a leader to lead men to the truth. Simply means to use your influence. As for me in my house, Joshua was going to use his influence. And wherever possible, with under his own roof, he was going to insist that all would serve the Lord. Use your influence. Use your money. Some people say, "But I have no leadership." Well, the business world runs by money. And God's work is very often choked for lack of money. Let me tell you, you'll not be a spiritual leader until you are a financial giver. If you're sitting on your wallet to the things of God, how are you going to be a spiritual leader? The Bible has given us a very clear principle, 10%. That's where it begins. And as we pray for God to pour out His Spirit upon His church and upon the gospel, upon this nation, these are the practical areas that we ought to give leadership in. And what you do with your money will tell you what kind of leader you are. Now that's where it is. You spend your money in the frivolous things of this world, that's again a leader you are. If you support the work of God, that's where your heart is. That's where your commitment is. And if you're consecrated personally, this will be the natural overflow of a dedicated life. It will be the easiest giving imaginable. Then in spiritual devotions, let me say in your home, I call you this year. If you've been remiss in past times of setting up those personal family gatherings around the Word, Father, under God, it's your call, it's your duty. Don't leave it all to others. Call your family together. Show them that this book is what rules your life and your thinking. I know that schedules, sometimes it's nigh impossible. But endeavor by God's grace. If you don't set the goal, you'll never reach it. Never reach it. And so this leadership as a Christian is what God calls us unto. Then as I look at this text, Joshua 24:15, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Here is persevering commitment. We will serve the Lord. Now, the proof was Joshua's insistence that when the people said with their lips, "Yes, we will serve the Lord," Joshua just did not take their word for it. But rather, he held their feet to the fire and he said to them, "You cannot serve the Lord." Why? Because of your sins. And he put them over this several times. Look at verse 19. God, Joshua said unto the people, "Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God." Are you ready to serve a holy God, teenagers? Perhaps you have friends that swear, use the Lord's name in vain, break His commandments. You have to choose now. You're going to walk with God or walk with the filthy ways of this world. You can't say, I'll serve the Lord and keep friendship with the ungodly of this world. Choose now. You cannot serve the Lord if you're going to keep living for the pleasure of ungodly friends. Then it says, He is a jealous God. He won't allow you to have another God in your life, another idol. He will not forgive your transgression nor your sins. That is, of course, the next verse clarifies it. That is, if you don't forsake them. You can't say, well, God will forgive me. But if you're not forsaking sin, you're not forgiven from sin. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. God will not accept the half-hearted service and worship that many offer. Our Lord Jesus, as we think of Him now as our Joshua, as we lift this from the historic realm of Israel to the present-day worship of our Savior, our Jesus Joshua, and as we would take this cup and bread to follow Him and worship Him and prove our commitment to Him, we have to remember here that our Lord Jesus also was equally disgusted with this lip service without the heart. In Matthew 15 and verse 7, I'll read these words to you. Matthew 15, verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Ye cannot serve the Lord without a heart for Him. That's the bottom line of this. As Joshua said, you can't serve the Lord because He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. And you're clinging to your idols and you're not willing to forsake your sins. How then can you serve Him? And our Lord Jesus likewise said, you're hypocrites if you try to do this. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. They go to prayer meetings and they make fine prayers. They appear in public as those who are holy. But their lives were filled of corruption. Serious business. Serious business. Serving the Lord is serious business. And I would that every one of us in this church began to get serious for God. Began to get through to the realization that we only play at religion. If we offer only lip service, we need the heart for it. Now back in Joshua 24 and verse 23, Joshua's answer was, therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Incline your heart. And you say, but I couldn't do that. I can't change my heart. He's not telling you to change your heart. He's telling you to incline your heart. That would be open your heart. Shut these other things out, but open your heart to God. You might say to me, but I'm a defeated Christian. I'm a powerless Christian. I've tried to do holy things. I've tried to walk with God, but I've been crushed so many times. You've given up. Being out and out for God. Joshua says, incline your heart. In other words, give your heart to the Lord. The book of Proverbs says, son, give me thine heart. Let me tell you, if we give our hearts to the Lord today, He will do the work in them. He will make us the men and women that we need to be. He will give us the grace that we so greatly need. You'll notice in the next verse it comes down to obedience. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. People say, I find obedience so difficult. Do you know why? Because there are many of God's people that don't listen for His voice. You see, this is the Lord's voice. It's not the preacher's voice. It's not the elder's voice. It's the Lord's voice. And there's the remedy for our obedience. If God speaks to you about it, if God speaks to you about it, you'll do it. Oh, yes, you'll do it. And And if He gives you a hatred for those sins and idols and other gods in your life, and makes you to see that they are the things that are eating up your spiritual life, you will deal with them. Obedience then will be easy. And then verse 22, Joshua didn't stop. He says to them, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. And then he made a covenant with the people. Verse 25. And verse 26, he wrote their exact words in a book. Oh, Joshua knew these people too well. He knew what a backsliding people they were, that they were like lemonade Christians. They would be all fired up one day and be flat the next. And said, did we say that? We didn't make that commitment, did we? It's in the book. It's written in the book. And then, for a visible marker, we're told in the next verse, same verse, verse 26, that he took a great stone and set it up there under an oak. A very visible place. Near the sanctuary too, by the way. So that every time they came to the sanctuary, they saw the oak tree, they saw the stone, and they were reminded of their own words of consecration to God. Shall we do that? We have an oak tree out there. I think it's an oak tree. What about a great big stone now today? A marker. Well, the Lord Jesus has got in first. He has already given us a reminder method, this table. He has ordained this table to remind us that we are to take up His cross and follow Him. And we are to eat in remembrance of His death and do this till He come, living in this consecration to the Lord, dedicating ourselves to Him. I would that you would do such a thing today. I invite you to participate at this communion table if you're 16 years and over and you're saved and you're willing to forsake your idols and those pleasures that come between you and God. If you are living in a desire to be a Christian disciple, then you are invited to this communion table to be your public reminder, to be a way of remembrance of this relationship, this contract between you and your Lord. You know, there's a covenant made here. Verse 25, and Joshua made a covenant with the people that day. Now there's a covenant between you and Christ. There's a covenant between you and your Lord. He has undertaken to redeem. He has undertaken to give you His Spirit. What are you to do? You're to walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That covenant hasn't been made. And here we come into this New Testament. New Testament means new covenant. This new way of remembering the bonds between us and our Savior. The responsibilities, the arrangement that has been set out, that Christians follow their Lord. Oh, today that we had this consecration, this yielding of ourselves, this persevering commitment. Now, did it work? That's the next thing. Did it work? Did it do any good in Israel? Well, here's the final statement of it all. Down in verse 31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elders that overlived or outlived Joshua. And which had known all the works of the Lord that He had done for Israel. What a great testimony. All the days of Joshua, and even for a period of time after his death, those that remained in memory of Joshua's leadership, they held fast to the covenant arrangement, consecrating themselves to God. It worked. And brethren and sisters, it can work today as we, with our Joshua Jesus, enter into a gospel covenant with Him. Because He will give us the grace. He will give us His Spirit. He will put His power within our lives to go through with Him. If we incline our hearts, if we open our hearts to Him. I would bid you to take this communion today. But only do so if you're going to be an out-and-out Christian. If there is reserve,
if there is sulking, if there is a spirit of distancing yourself from the things of God and the work of God and the testimony of Christ's kingdom, then I would say you have no part in this communion table. How can you take the emblems of the Savior's covenant love to you, and you are in a public way testifying to something you're not willing to live? I pray that today that the Lord would Himself come and do us grace. Do us good by His grace. There's a very negative side to this, and it's verse 20. And I wouldn't be a faithful pastor to you today if I didn't point this out. And it's this: if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt. Let me tell you, departure from God will bring misery and trouble and sorrow. And it's one of the most heart-rendering things in the Lord's work to see a Christian self-destruct. They take the hump. They get out of fellowship. They come to church with a bad attitude. They seldom come then, only come occasionally. Or they lose out. Or they go off to some place where it's easy on the flesh. And you can see them spiritually destruct. God has the power to do us good. And indeed, if we read the first part of the chapter, He mentions Abram and Moses. How God did good to His people. And He wants to do us good today. But we must give ourselves to Him. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.